What's up, my friends? It's Sam here, and today I have something cool to share with you. And so I just will keep this intro very short. So let's cue in the intro and then we'll begin from there.
So we've been wondering, how are young people like us crushing our goals and living life on our terms, regardless of how bad the economy sucks? How are we able to stay arisen, chase our massive dreams, take action and impact people while others are busy sleeping? But the real question is, how do we do it without falling into the trap the sleeping group fell into? That is the big question, and this podcast will give you the answers. Follow along as we learn, apply and share actionable steps on how to stay arisen in business, career and life in today's economy. Welcome to the Arisen Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back. And so if you know the sound of my voice every time, you know today I'm a little bit excited. We are on our, you know, I'm still making tweaks on the workshop that we'll be holding very soon. This might be, you know, when this episode is out, probably the event is over. But anyway, so a friend of mine, you know, asked me a question, and I did an audio, you know, message to her, and I think you guys really need the audio message I did send her, because I think it was valuable. I don't know, it could possibly be, you know, just a tickle in my ego, but I think it was good, and so I just want to share it. But the reason what triggered the question she asked in the first place was, so what I found was that recently I found some of my friends in the entrepreneurial space are looking at starting a venture inside the delivery system, right? Delivery business where, you know, they do food delivery or item delivery or clothing delivery and stuff like that, right? And you know, so I just posted on my WhatsApp status on you know, I was just thinking out loud that, you know, could it be a market that I really want to go into, right? And obviously, you know, it was just a question to, you know, pique interest and stuff like that, but I don't see myself going into that business. And and the reason is I just want to stay focused on what I really want to do, because the more you know, food you have on the plate, the less you can concentrate on one food to eat, right? So for me, I just want to have, you know, one form of thing I do at a point in time. Anyway, that's a topic for a different, you know, day. But And so my friend here replied on that, you know, it has been one of her thoughts that she wants to start a delivery business. And for me, if you know me, I'm always geeking about people starting businesses. I'm always geeking about people bringing up ideas and then helping the marketplace, at the end of the day, making money out of it. Because what will happen is that if they make more money, they're going to impact more generation. They're going to employ people. People are going to make money from them making money. And people are going to also benefit from their product or service, depending on whether, you know, as long as their business is ethical and moral, right? And so I love, you know, when someone says that, it's nearly orgasmic to me. You know, when someone says, Sam, I want to start this thing, I get super excited, I get very nerdy, I get very geeky. That's just me, right? But so I was asking her what she was looking to do in that form of business, right? And just for the heck of it, and she said she was inside the research phase, and so she's looking to launch very soon. And I was really excited, and just right in time, like, you guessed right, my geekiness just shot off the charts, you know, my nerdiness was, you know, off the roof, the roof, and I just couldn't help it, but, you know, share some. So I told her about some metrics I use inside my research work, you know, way before I enter inside the market, way before I even start developing my idea. I always have some form of metric, or what you call a checklist, to make sure, to guide me as to whether this market is going to be, this business is going to be a good one or a bad one. Right off the gate, I know this business could be a good one because of these metrics. And so I shared those metrics, and I just feel like, you know, you guys would need these metrics as well. And so so before you even come up with your idea, this is kind of like 0.1% of what I'm going to do in Immerse Secrets Workshop, right? And so if you find it valuable, just, you know, just tells you how much valuable Immerse Secrets Workshop is. Anyway, that's a little plug there, but there's no way you can even register. So anyway, if you're not part, people are are caught up on the idea that they need to research before moving into the marketplace. And I love that idea. I think it's a good step. It's a good step in the right direction, right? Research is where you really want to start doing for the first, you know, few weeks or months or even probably years, right? Depending on how complex your idea is, right? And so the research thing is very important. But what I've realized is that most people do the research wrong. They focus on the wrong things. And guess what? If you're doing the research, you focus on the wrong things, you're going to get the, you know, wrong results, right? Or not so right results, right? You're not going to get the right results you need to give you the thumbs up or the thumbs down as to whether this business is going to work, right? And so the questions, I always tell you guys that, you know, questions invite revelation. The kind of questions or the type of questions you ask yourself would give you the revelations, and the revelations could be revelations of you seeing the loopholes way before you start the business, seeing the potholes inside the industry you're looking to go into way before coming up with the idea. And so you just weigh the risk to see that, because if you're going somewhere, you know that there are a couple, you know, potholes along the way, you bridge yourself up, you know this is what you're up to, right? Anyway, so I use these guys. I'm going to share three of them, because that's what I shared with her. But so I always in the research phase, I look at whether the market is even ripe in the first place. People don't consider that. And it drives me nuts. It makes me sick that, you know, you don't consider the fact that it's your market, or is the industry you're looking to head into, is it ripe? The fact that, you know people, you know friends who are selling and making money, is it really ripe, right? Because the fact, the state of the market would give you, will give you a lot of clues, right? Excuse me. It's going to give you a lot of clues as to whether this is a good business to go into or this is a bad business to go into. And I always tag the ideas, right? So, or I tag the market, right? And so I use just color codes, right? So blue and then red. So blue basically means it's a new market out there. Red basically means that it's super red. It has a lot of buyers. It has a lot of sellers. And so I'm excited about it. And so... And so on a high level, that is what I'm looking out for inside of whether the market is ripe or not, right? And so, knowing whether this a market is ripe for me gives me a lot of, you know, because if it's ripe, I know how to position myself. If it's red, I mean, if it's blue, then, you know, I know how to position myself as well. Because let me give you an example, right? For me, I always want to go into markets that are highly competitive, and the reason is the safety inside that market. Most people run away from competition, and it drives me nuts, right? It drives me nuts when people run from competition, because we've been ingrained, you know, we have that concept ingrained in our heads that competition is bad and stuff like that, right? And so we always will try and avoid competition. But one of the super metrics that I use to judge whether the market is ripe or not is if there are competition. There are a lot of it, not just, you know, one or two. I need a lot of competition. That way I can be able to position myself as to whether I'm going to go this way or I'm going to go this way, right? And if you do your market selection well, market selection is also a huge, huge topic I'm going to share inside the workshop. And so if you guys are listening to the workshop, I mean, if you guys who registered for the workshop are listening to this, then I'm going to geek on you guys, right? Anyway, so that's what I do. So I look at, is the market ripe? Is it red enough, right? And I always look out for the competition. The competition, I need a lot of them, because I can be able to structure my market, right, in a way that would rather not repel competitors, but then we'll be complements of each other. If you do it the right way, you'll be complements of each other. If you select the market rightly, you'll complement yourself rather than competing yourself. And the reason you need a competition is because you know that idea inside of the marketplace works, right? And so so that is with, you know, knowing if the market is ripe or not. And the second thing I look out for is the amount of buyers and amount of sellers, right? The amount of buyers and amount of sellers. Most people just concentrate on the buyers, right? They are heading into the market. They do, you know, buyers analysis, right? So they go into the markets, those who are buying, and they ask them, oh, how much are you buying this for? What do you like about this? What do you hate about this? Stuff like that, right? So that is what the industry, right? The industry typically teaches people that this is the way you do research, right? But they always forget about the sellers, because what happens is that the sellers are going to give you huge clues that you might not get from the buyers, right? You might not get from the buyers. And that is why I love, you know, these metrics, because if there are not enough sellers inside the market, then I'm not entering the market. Because guess what? The market doesn't have a lot of, because if there are a lot of buyers, there should be lots of sellers, right? And so those are things I look out for. And I use, you know, the 60%, 40%, you know, ratio, right? And so I make sure that I focus my, 60% of my investments in the research, right? I focus 60% inside of the sellers, studying them like a hawk, right? Because if they have proven, if they are clearly making money out of that market, I need to figure out how they are doing it, what they are doing, how they are selling it, how they are getting customers or clients or whatever, right? I need to figure out that way, because guess what? I don't want to reinvent the wheel. That is why I always need buyers and sellers inside the market, because I am no, and I'm an underdog. I'm no, you know, huge business celebrity. I don't have, you know, millions of dollars to kick off a campaign, stuff like that, right? And so you always want to be smart in what you do. And what I mean by smart is looking out for what the sellers are already doing. Guess what? If I have an idea and I've realized that most of the sellers are using, you know, Facebook to sell their, you know, their products, why would I ever try and go be, you know, an innovator and say I am going to head over to Instagram and then dominate the Instagram marketplace? No, please don't. It's the wackest thing you can ever do for your business, because at the beginning stages, you really don't need to be the creative. You do not need to be the innovator. You do not need to be someone creating the idea or creating the process from scratch. People have done that for you. Establish yourself in the marketplace. Prove that this thing works, right? And then you can be able to, you know, go inside your creative zone and then be creative. And that is after you've made lots of money out of the you know, I call it the idea hacking, right? And you're not stealing anything. You're just looking at the process, the flow, right? If your customers are people, you know, I mean, the buyers inside the market, doing your research, looking at the 60% of sellers, 40% for the buyers, and then you draw a conclusion that most of the current buyers are people of, you know, 45 years and above, then guess what? You will probably be looking at, you know, how they are currently buying their stuff inside of the inside of that market, right? So you should start thinking, okay, so people of around 45 to, you know, 50 to 60 people are not, they're not so much of a, you know, social media freaks, right? Of course, you could find some outliers here and there, but they're not so much of a social media freak, or they don't hang around on social media as compared to people within the ages of, you know, from 18 to 35, right? And so that way it gives you, you know, some upper hand on how to go inside the market, because you know what is working inside the market. So you go off of that. You don't try and then start from zero. You start from where the buyers, where the sellers are, right? And it gives you a huge advantage, right? That is if, you know, you are okay with, you know, what you saw inside the buyers and the sellers market, right? And then one last thing I'll share here and then I'll hop off. What most people, I guarantee most people don't even know this concept. It's called the category king, right? Category king. And so most people go into any idea inside any market, and then they just assume their idea is going to be the biggest one out there. But during their research, they don't realize that there's somebody out there who is more likely the category king. And so a category king is someone inside the marketplace, a business or, you know, a service or an idea inside the marketplace that frankly makes 90% of the market and then leaves, you know, 10% of the market. I mean, 10% of the money inside the market for, you know, people who are not category kings, right? And so if you're able to identify that this market you are entering into is has a category king like this, then you would know how to position yourself. You wouldn't go there and saying, hey, this is what you do. You wouldn't go into the market portraying yourself as the, you know, category king. It will be, you know, people will be laughing at you because it's not smart, you know, doing it that way. And guess what, if you are doing your research and realize that this market doesn't have any category king, and then you know how to position yourself, because you want to go in for that position because it's the most lucrative thing you can ever, you know, go in for. And there are different strategies of, you know, after saying, oh, this has a category king, there's a way to go inside of that market and still be profitable. If there is a category king, then you know how to, you know, position yourself in that regard, right? And so I hope these three, there are more, right, but I hope these three, you know, checklist and this checklist helps you to basically position yourself, position your idea in such that, you know, you are up for success, right? Because I hate it when people have the ideas and they skip this, or they skip, you know, some of these things that actually help you to be you know, profitable with your idea. And so I hope this helps. So make sure whatever idea you are going into, you are venturing into, make sure it's ripe, make sure it's as red as possible, make sure you stay away from the blues. Right. Eventually, what you are looking to do is to feed off of the red market, put them into a blue, right? Creating a new opportunity. I don't want to go all deep, balls deep on you guys here, but that's what it is, right? You want a red market. You want a market that has a lot of competition, right? And that will fuel your business. I guarantee it. It's going to fuel your business. And then the 60%, 60-40 rule, right? 60 attention on sellers and then 40 attention on buyers, right? Knowing what takes them, you know, how many years have the sellers been selling this for? You know, are there influencers inside the market? You know, stuff like that, right? What's the average price across board for all the sellers, right? How are they positioning themselves as the go-to you know, experts or products, you know, or business, right, for this marketplace, right? And then lastly, you look at category king, right? So with category king, you having an idea, or you knowing that there's a category king inside the marketplace, you know how to position yourself properly, as opposed to where there's no category king, you know how to position yourself accordingly. So I hope this episode helps again. Anyways, I'm hopping off and then going to make sure I deliver good content for my people. Anyway, guys, I'll talk to you guys later. Cheers. Yeah, wasn't that an exciting episode? Please consider leaving a review and a 5-star rating inside Spotify if you're on Android, and iTunes if you're on Apple. We have had a ton of you complaining you don't see the week's episode in a timely manner, and we appreciate that frustration. So if you want to get notified the very second an episode is live, head over to podcast.arisenglobal.com. That is podcast.arisenglobal.com, and follow the easy steps on there. You'll be notified on Facebook Messenger as soon as an episode goes live, so you are not left out in the Arisen Nation. And as always, don't forget to stay Arisen.